Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Small Talk podcast. My name is Katie Fairman, and I hope that you're all doing very well. Lead up to Christmas is here, and for most people that work in motorsports and Formula One, they may be able to take their foot off the gas a little bit. Winter break is nearly here. You can tell I'm recording this very early in the morning. My caffeine has not worked its magic yet. But not for me, because I am prepping for the Formula E season. I am going to be at all of the races this year, which is super exciting and something that I can mention more about in a podcast nearer Mexico City. But I am working very hard behind the scenes. But for today's episode, I wanted to take things back to basics and go through some of the news stories that have been happening in F1 over the last week or so, especially as the FIA have released their entry list today. And nobody has ever been more excited over an entry list than this one, because we have some rather interesting name changes. So grab yourself a drink. I've gone for my first cup of tea of the day. This needs to work its magic because I'm still half asleep. And let's get into today's episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I've actually been so keen to drink that cup of tea that I've burnt my mouth, which is a great start to the morning. So let's start with the first piece of news that has happened about half an hour ago at the time of recording, and that is the FIA releasing their F1 entry list for 2024. Now, this is complete normal procedure. However, this year there have been some tweaks and some changes to team names. Most significantly, Alfa Romeo, which is no more. The Alfa Romeo time in F1 is come to an end. I genuinely think we will see it again in the future. Alfa Romeo is such an iconic brand. It's been there since the beginning in F1. And who knows, in the future, Alfa Romeo may return. But for now, we have a new team name that we have to get familiar with. And team names anyway are a funny thing, because you have people like Ferrari who are just Scuderia Ferrari. Very impromptu Italian accent I went for there. But that's their name. Same with Williams Racing. Just very simple, basic McLaren Formula One team. However, over time, teams have realized that they can make a ton of money by adding in a title sponsor. So we had the announcement yesterday that Aston Martin is now Aston Martin Aramco Formula One team. We've also got, let's have a look, MoneyGram Haas F1 team, Oracle Red Bull Racing, Mercedes AMG Petronas Formula One team. So it's definitely a thing, BWT Alpine F1 team. So adding in a title sponsor or a name of a brand or something into your name is a fairly common thing that we're seeing more of now, because I'm guessing you can pay more for the exclusivity. But Sauber, who are the people that own the Alfa Romeo team, so it's always been part of the Sauber F1 team, owned by Peter Sauber. Obviously, this is going to be becoming Audi in a couple of years, so that's exciting. And Audi have basically reassured people that that is still happening, because there were lots of rumors around October, November time that maybe the Audi dream of it being an F1 wasn't going to come to light, but they've reassured everybody, nope, we're still on for 2026. But in the meantime, for those 2 years they've got in 24 and 25, they have to rename their team because Alfa Romeo is no more. So what have they called their team? Well, it's definitely one of the most interesting team names I've ever heard. Prepare yourself for Stake F1 Team Kick Sauber. Stake F1 Team Kick Sauber. What? What? That's just the most unhinged F1 team name I've ever heard. So if we're going off the basis of like Alpine F1 team, are we calling it Stake F1 team? Because Steak was a sponsor of theirs last year. From memory, it's a... Let's have a quick Google. I think it's a gambling... I'm pretty sure. And that's why they had the suite of cards livery for Vegas and stuff. Come on, Google. We're recording a live podcast here. I need you to hurry up. Oh, Stake is apparently crypto, casino and sports betting. So Stake was on their car. It was a sponsor last year when it was Alfa Romeo. I know that much. But I'm guessing that they're now having a bigger investment in the team. And same for Kick. Kick is a sponsor. Is it a streaming service? We're going to do another impromptu Google. You think that I would have looked this up before starting the podcast, but where's the fun in that? Yep, Kick is the most rewarding gaming and live streaming platform. So yeah, once again, Kick were also a sponsor of Alfa Romeo last year, but both of those brands, partners, have now made their way into the official team name. And I'm just going to go straight out and say I hate it. I really am not a fan. But at least the Sauber name's in there somewhere. But it's just one of the most weird F1 team names I can remember. And you just know that there's going to be many a meme about it. Like, say, Guan Yu Zhou or Valtteri Bottas gets punted off. It's all going to be like, haha, Kick, because you got, you know, kicked. I don't know. I'm trying to make a joke. Guys, forgive me, it's early. So there we go. We have a new F1 team. And I was reading... Twitter this morning. I speak about it like it's the morning newspaper, which is really bad. Chris Medland, the oracle of F1 Twitter. So he said, Sauber announced that sponsor Kick has acquired the naming rights to its chassis for the next 2 years. So next year's car will be known as the Kick Sauber C44. We were expecting this entry list sooner than planned. I remember reading a quote from somebody within the Alfa Romeo team, maybe it was in a press release, and they said that everybody will be able to find out the name of the new Sauber car on the 10th of December when the official FIA entry list is available. So this is 5 days late if we're going by that. Whether that is late because obviously the FIA have been quite busy recently with this F1 team allegation storyline, which I'll talk about in a moment. And then they've had the FIA prize giving ceremony or gala or whatever you want to call it. So... maybe they have just decided to postpone it. But another interesting thing to mention is AlphaTauri in this entry list, because the talk on the street, as the kids say, is that AlphaTauri was going to be no more for 2024. Hey, that rhymed. But there, basically, AlphaTauri were meant to be changing its name, supposedly, for next year. Yet on the official entry list, it just says... that the team name is Scuderia AlphaTauri, RB, short for Red Bull, I'm guessing. But yeah, it means that we're still going to have AlphaTauri next year if this is the official entry list. I mean, I'm not 100% sure how this stuff works, if they can then put in a change of name over the next month or so. But surely, like, this is a discussion that's been had for months. I remember when I was in Austin, I was having a conversation with somebody who was talking about the new AlphaTauri name. And I won't say what they told me it was going to be called, but it's a name that I saw circulating. And so I don't really understand. Maybe they've pulled the plug on that idea, because also you've got to remember AlphaTauri is a Red Bull clothing brand. So for me, it didn't really make much sense to sort of change the name, one that fans are familiar with. I know that you might want to change it to include more of the Red Bull name. But then in other sports, like in football, there's a team that is sponsored by Red Bull, but it's not officially called Red Bull, as far as I'm aware, unless my brother has lied to me. So I don't really understand why they wanted to change the AlphaTauri name, especially, like I say, if you get free promotion for your clothing range. It made little sense to me, unless the clothing range is getting put in the bin. But it appears that it's going to stay the same for next year. So at least that's helpful and not confusing. And as for people saying, oh, like it's Scuderia AlphaTauri, I'm pretty sure like it was Scuderia Toro Rosso. It's like maybe it's the Italian link that it has got that there. But I'm pretty sure it was always Scuderia AlphaTauri. We just abbreviated it. As well as the team names, the entry list also includes the full names of all the drivers that are going to be on the grid, which, as we know, is not going to be changing. There's no dramatic driver changes for 2024. It's all pretty much identical as it was at the start of the year, except for Nyck de Vries being replaced by Daniel Ricciardo. So no drama there, but as everybody keeps mentioning, 2024, lots of contracts are up at the end of that year. So hopefully we get a bit of a spicy, silly season, but I don't want to get too excited about it in case it ends up being really boring. I mean, there's rumours circulating that Charles and Carlos are both going to sign Ferrari deals until maybe 26. And so I could see just loads of people extending their contracts and we're in the same thing, which would kill me a little bit because I live for the drama. And also, I would quite like some of the junior guys to get through. I mean, looking at the recent FIA F2 champions, obviously Piastri managed to make his way into F1. What a sleigh. But then looking like more recently, Pulcher is having to go to Super Formula because there's no space for him on the grid. Same with Drugovich. He is still sticking around with Aston Martin. Same with Pulcher at Alfa Romeo. But there's no permanent seat for him on the grid. I don't know if I'm guessing he assumed that there could be a chance to get that Williams seat. Now, Logan Sargeant is confirmed for next year, which is something I can mention later because I haven't talked about that on the podcast yet. It's been that long since I did an episode. Apologies. But it's getting to the point now where it's getting actually kind of crazy how much the grid isn't changing. Don't get me wrong. I love everyone on the grid, so I'm also kind of happy. But maybe having an 11th team would sort that. I don't really know what the solution is, but it does seem kind of, I don't know, unfair a little bit that why is everybody too darn good? That's my gripe of the day. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But basically an unchanged driver lineup for 2024. Okay, other news that has gone down in the what feels like months since I recorded my last episode. Actually, funny story, and I haven't done one of this in a while, but I sat down and recorded my favourite moments from the 2023 season podcast, and the audio is not where I want it to be. And also, I still don't think I'm 100% from losing my voice, and so it just all sounded a bit weird. So I'm going to try and record that again later, but hopefully that'll be out in the next few days. But I have tried to record a podcast for you guys. Don't think I've just left you on your own. But let's have a look at recent news stories. So yesterday, Jean Todt apparently said that he thinks FIA or F1 should have cancelled the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix. Yes, we are still talking about that all these years on. But obviously, Felipe Massa is on a mission to get that result changed, which could, in effect, change the whole 2008 driver championship. Obviously, went to Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa just losing out on that. And anytime somebody mentions Massa and 2008 and the championship, I can't not think of the clip in that Ferrari garage of his whole family and his friends thinking that he had won. And then the look on their face, like it's burnt into my retinas. The look on their face when they realise that Hamilton has got past Glock. Like it's honestly one of the most tragic things I've ever seen. And then there's like the Ferrari mechanic in the background punching the wall. Like, honestly, don't tell me F1 is not an emotional sport when you see moments like that. But basically, Jean Todt has said that the controversial Singapore Grand Prix should have been scratched out as wrongdoing first emerged, is what Nate Saunders from ESPN has written here. Yeah, the 2008 race that was known as Crashgate, basically it emerged a year later that Renault had told Nelson Piquet Jr. to crash, which helped Fernando Alonso win as there was a safety car that followed. Obviously, very, very controversial race, and something actually that I spoke to Nelson Piquet Jr. about when the pandemic was happening. I was writing for a publication that I co-founded called Inside Electric, RIP, no more. But within that and like during the lockdowns, obviously we couldn't get out to races to cover Formula E and things like Extreme E. And so we had an interview series on the podcast. And one of the people I interviewed was Nelson because he was the season one Formula E champion. And within that, I had some questions, obviously a lot about Formula E, but talking about his motorsport career in general. And I think I might have been one of the only people that have spoken to him about Crashgate, which is a moment that I'm actually very proud of in my career, because I was almost like, obviously it's an uncomfortable subject and one that he very, very rarely talks about. But I kind of went in with the angle of him being so young and, you know, being told to do this thing by a team, whether you agree it was right or not. Like, he was still very young, very new to this whole space and F1. Obviously, his father, 3-time world champion, but he himself being instructed to do that. And then the repercussions that went with all of these, like, influential older men, you know, going after him essentially was not pleasant. And so he spoke a lot about that, which was really interesting. But yes, Crashgate, one of F1's darkest days, there's no denying that. And Felipe Massa is on a mission to get the result of that race changed or canned, or I don't really know. But it begs a question, why was this not done at the time? And will the result change? Because if so, that will take Lewis Hamilton to a 6-time world champion, which is still a phenomenal feat. It's one of those things, nobody wants to open the can of worms, because if you're going to change that result, then you could argue that Abu Dhabi 2021, sorry for bringing it up, but maybe that result should be changed if there's been, you know, obviously that was a controversial result. And there's got to be several of those kind of big moments sprinkled throughout Formula One's history. Unfortunately, as much as I love Formula One, it's not been perfect in its 70-year history. But how far back does it go? So anyway, Jean Todt, though, coming out and saying that the result of that race should have been scrapped is a very significant update. And I'm sure Felipe Massa is frothing at the mouth at that information. And actually, talking of Massa, if you were looking for a good interview podcast, I cannot emphasize enough how much I'm enjoying listening to Track Limits. They are such a lovely bunch of people. I've had the chance to meet most of the team now, and their podcasts are brilliant. They have some amazing guests on there, including one that I listened to recently with Felipe Massa, where he talks about why he wants to have that championship title, but also like his time growing up in Brazil. He had a really interesting anecdote about when he met Ayrton Senna, actually, which I thought was really, I won't say any more because I want you to go and listen to it. But if you're looking for that F1 fix over the winter break, then I would really recommend the Track Limits podcast. I think they've actually just recently uploaded one with Zac Brown, which I was like, I need to listen to that. So that's on my to-do list today. But yeah, let's talk about the FIA on the subject of them, because they did recently have their prize-giving ceremony. Rumour has it that Lewis Hamilton left his trophy behind. I mean, I think most of us have seen the picture of him accepting the award, where I don't know if it's intentional with Lewis or whether it was a complete mistake, but he appears to be flipping the bird, giving the FIA the middle finger whilst he picks up his third place trophy. Yes, apparently somebody has said that he left the trophy to a fan, and this fan is posting about it all the time on Twitter, proving that he actually does have it. Like, I don't know, say motorsport.com or somebody like that has said, do you really have this trophy? He's like posted a picture of the trophy with the motorsport.com website in the background to like prove that is in his house. But whether it was an accidental mistake of Lewis misplacing it, I don't know. Lewis has not said anything. Apparently, Mercedes have issued clarification. Let's have a look at this. Over this trophy that went missing, should we say. Apparently, Mercedes have denied claims that Hamilton gifted his official 2023 championship trophy to a fan after leaving it behind. So there we go. Mercedes have said that this didn't happen. One of the reasons that Hamilton could be rather annoyed at the FIA is obviously this situation that happened with his boss, Toto Wolff, and Toto's wife, Susie Wolff, who is also the F1 Academy's managing director and somebody that is highly respected in motorsport in her own right. She's not just Toto Wolff's wife. I'm sure most of you have seen this news by now. And actually, the FIA ended in the investigation after a couple of days anyway. So this really is old news, but I want to talk about it anyway. And that was last week. The FIA announced that its compliance department was looking into an allegation that confidential information was being passed between an F1 team principal and a member of Formula One management, which obviously would conveniently be Toto and Susie, with Susie being part of FOM and Toto being an F1 team principal last time I checked. And so this rumour started and all the F1 teams came out in solidarity, I guess you could call it, but posted identical statements. All nine of them. Of course, Mercedes aren't going to say would do the same statement because it's them that's being included in it, but they have categorically denied that this would happen. But yeah, that was like a wild evening on Twitter. And I can't remember off the top of my head which teams it were, but a few teams published a statement like bang on, say like 5:30. I can't remember the exact time, but it was all at one specific time. Then there were some other teams that were a bit late to the party, which was causing more drama than it needed to be. But still, everyone was like, oh my gosh, Alpine haven't shared. It must be Alpine. Alfa Romeo haven't said anything. It's got to be them. Red Bull were late to like posting on the dot. So I don't know how this kind of decision happened within like the teams. But either way, it was carnage. Alfa Romeo were actually the last team to post, and I think they posted like half an hour after the initial announcement, and I saw quite a lot of funny memes. Obviously it's not a funny situation, like it is a serious allegation to be made, but of people saying like Alfa Romeo admin waking up from a nap and seeing 30 missed calls and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But essentially all teams said, well, we haven't made any complaint against it, so there we go. And the FIA ended their investigation. But the damage is already done. And we have seen Susie Wolff, who I feel like is the person that has been most affected by this story, has put out two statements over the few days. I'll read the most recent one, which has happened after the investigation has been ended. When I first saw the statement issued by the FIA yesterday evening, my first reaction was, is that it? For 2 days, insinuations have been made about my integrity in public and through background briefings, but nobody from the FIA has spoken to me directly. I might have been collateral damage in an unsuccessful attack on somebody else or the target of a failed attempt to discredit me personally, but I have worked too hard and have my reputation called into question by an unfounded press release. We have come a long way as a sport. I was extremely thankful for the unified support of the Formula One teams. I have worked with so many passionate women and men at the F1 and FIA who have the very best interests of our sport at heart. However, this episode has so far taken place without transparency or accountability. I've received online abuse about my work and my family. I will not allow myself to be intimidated and intend to follow up until I have found out who has instigated this campaign and misled the media. What happened this week is simply not good enough. As a sport, we must demand and we deserve better. Who knows what the next steps could be, whether Mercedes or the Wolves decide to take legal action remains to be seen. But either way, I do feel very bad for Susie, because at the end of the day, she's been in motorsport for so long. I mean, I'm not going to hide the fact that I put her down as one of my idols. I think that what she has stood for in motorsport and what she's managed to achieve is nothing short of inspiring. But I trust that she is a professional, and that if there are things that are disclosed that are confidential, that as a grown woman who has her own thoughts and her own brain, that she will be able to not share that information with her husband. You know, there are things that happen at work all the time that you maybe wouldn't share with your partner. And it is crazy, especially when people say about conflict of interest. And then all you need to do is look at the FIA's ecosystem. I mean, we had an FIA president, Jean Todt, who I mentioned earlier in the episode, who was literally the team principal at Ferrari for such a long time. And then he went into being the president of the FIA. Surely that's a conflict of interest, no? Or what about Stefano Domenicali, who is now top dog at F1? He was at Ferrari. Like, you know, I'm not trying to say that Ferrari corrupt or anything, but surely there are conflict of interest in other places. There are so many situations where this is the case. Like, motorsport is such a small bubble that you're very likely going to have to hire people that have previously worked with other teams to fill high positions that need experience. So it is just, you know, it's very disappointing to see. And I actually am in like a pretty sorry state at the moment when it comes to diversity in motorsport. Obviously, I am a woman in motorsport. I'm aware that there are very few of them. Like, my experiences in the F1 paddock this year have been great for so many reasons. But let me tell you, there is such a long way to go. Going to media sessions, like, obviously we have diversity on TV coverage, for example. Look at Sky Sports. We have people like Rachel Brooks, Natalie Pinkham. We have Naomi Schiff. Like, looking behind a layer at the written media and print media, there is still so little diversity within that group. And throughout this week, I mean, looking at the FIA prize giving ceremony, you know, the FIA are sharing pictures of the people that have won their awards. Out of, say, 100 people, there was one woman. And I'm not saying that the men that have worked really hard to be in these positions shouldn't be there, but it's glaringly obvious that this is still very much a male-dominated sport. And yes, we can try our hardest to make it a more welcoming place, but at the moment, I feel like nothing is changing. The one piece of good news that I can kind of end this podcast on, because it's turning into a bit of a rant, and I apologize, this is not where I intended it to go, but the FIA have finally changed some of the pronouns used in their regulations. Because even now, like, I'm editing a lot of Formula E sporting regulations, for example, ahead of the new season. And still then, from a championship that has had women racing in it in the past, Susie Wolff, for example, was previously a team principal, a very successful team principal in Formula E. And yet all of the regulations still say he. But for, I think it was F2 and F3, it has now changed to be they, which is such, you might be like, oh, that's literally like such a small insignificant change. Honestly, I can tell you now, as a woman in motorsport, it matters. Reading the Race Fans article, actually, it says that he is going to be changed to the driver. Which is even, like, it makes no sense why this wasn't done before. And this has been an issue for a long time. I can remember when I was doing the WTF1 podcast for Spa in 2021, when that race was rained off, I was going through the regulations and I noticed it then. And I had a rant about it then. And that was nearly, well, that was over 2 years ago. I'm aware that there are a lot of regulations that the FIA need to cover, whether that's the International Sporting Code, technical regulations, sporting regulations. And of course, that goes for they've got so many championships. That's Rally Cross, that's Formula E, that's Formula One, that's F2, F3. Like, there's a lot that would need to be changed. And they might just think it's such an insignificant change. And you might think it's an insignificant change. But let me tell you, the language that is used to discuss our sport as a whole might be small, but it is still part of the foundations that make the F1 and the championship what it is. And so we need to maybe start small in order to help change things for the better. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but that's something that's been playing on my mind a lot. And I felt like I wanted to get it across at some point in a podcast. And so it's kind of naturally come out here. But let's end on maybe a bit of a cheerier note. Okay, rant over. Take deep breaths, Katie, and let's end this podcast. So one thing I wanted to mention is that for 2024, I have been working hard behind the scenes and have got some exciting projects lined up. That might include watching podcasts. If you're somebody like me who enjoys sitting down and actually watching a podcast on like your laptop or something while you potter around the house, then there could be some good news for you. But anyway, I'm going to leave that teaser there. All will be revealed very soon. And yeah, I'll speak to you in the next episode. Thanks as ever for listening. Hope you have a great weekend. And I'll be back next week with my favorite moments from the 2023 F1 season. And there are a lot of them. So hopefully that will be a great episode. Take care, stay safe, and I'll speak to you soon. Love you. Bye.